PXY Mornings, Moose Breezy, welcome back to the show. I gotta ask, buying a home is hard today because typically the homeowner might get, let's say, 25 offers, right? And not always will they go to the highest bid. Because I remember I put an offer in on a home in Irondequoit. Homeowner was this little old lady, and she wanted her house to go to someone who was young, maybe starting a family.
Yeah.
Needless to say, I didn't get it.
But no, not at all.
But the home.
You're not young, nor were you starting a family.
She didn't automatically take the highest offer.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask this morning if anyone has ever done what you're thinking about doing. And I have heard people doing this in the past. And yes, it works.
Yes.
For a lot of people, it's frowned upon to do this. But
it's called using your resources.
I mean, what do you have to lose? That's the thing.
So I'm at this party last night, and I was at the table with this woman who is older than me, obviously more life experience than me. And she shared with us that she and her husband had moved a couple years back when they got a letter out of nowhere in their mailbox from someone who basically was like, hey, I want to buy your house. Like, if you ever sell your house, I want to buy it. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh my God, like, yes, like, let's sell our house to these people. Then she goes on to say, little did I know, everybody got in the neighborhood got the letter.
Oh, really?
So she was like, I thought I was like the chosen one, and that wasn't true at all. But they did end up selling their house to this couple, and they went on and found like other arrangements. I mean, when you're an older couple and like your kids are out of the house and like you have this big house and you have nothing or no one to fill it with, like it's a no-brainer, right?
Sure.
Maybe you're not ready at the time, but it's in the back of your mind. So she's like, yeah, we sold it to this couple who wrote us a letter, and that we did it a private sale, and it was all good, right? I am so curious because I have always heard of this being like a successful tactic, but my curiosity is, what are the benefits of somebody doing that for both a buyer and a seller? Because obviously we know the market's crazy right now. From my experience, I think it's coming down just from looking for the past 2 months. I kind of am like getting a gauge on what's like, what's kosher, what's not kosher. And I feel like a real estate agent has told me recently, not mine, but a different one, that I should start writing letters and putting them in people's mailboxes of homes that I would one day want to live in or desired neighborhoods to be in, because it's less of a hassle for the person selling their house, if they ever were to sell their house, to put it on the market and go through the contingencies and put in an escrow, all the numbers and words you got to throw around.
Yeah, I've had real estate agents tell me the opposite. Some agents have discouraged people from doing this.
Yeah, of course they are, because they're not going to get a cut of it.
Well, according to them, it's due to the fair housing laws and then what have you. But it's one of these situations where, and this is my opinion, but like I was planning on doing it to that house I wanted in Fairport.
The house that was on your screensaver?
Yeah.
You having someone else's home on your screensaver is absolutely wild.
I was waiting to run into them at like Tin Cup or something like
that.
No,
literally.
Is that our house? Yeah, I was trying to manifest it. Didn't get it.
Yeah, fully.
But it's a situation where I wanted it so badly, and I was like, the homeowners were my age, young. They were moving, and it's like I so badly wanted this house. They didn't put it on the market just yet, and I'm like, please give it to me. So I thought about writing them a letter, and you know, my landlord, or excuse me, my real estate agent, she was like, no, I'm going to talk to them for you. That never worked out. But I was so pissed.
Here's the situation. You got to go with your gut. And whenever someone's like, I will talk to them for you, in any sense of the word, it's a no. You can only articulate what it is that you feel inside. And it's not going to mean as much coming from a third party source. And that's anything in life. That's telling someone how you feel. That's telling someone you want their house. That's telling someone you want to do business with them. So don't ever let someone be like, I'm going to do it for you. No. I know I'm capable of it. I'm going to do it myself. The other caveat.
Also, keep away from any sob stories. But people don't, they don't want
to
hear that.
The other caveat to this is I only feel as if this works with an older couple selling their house or an older person selling their house. Obviously, someone in their 30s or 40s want to make the most money. That is obviously the object of the game. When it's an older person, they're set in their ways, they're set in their money patterns, their retirement's good to go. They're like, what do I need an extra 30 grand for? I mean, yes, it sounds great, but like if you're on an income that's
yeah
a surplus.
If you're selling your home and trying to make the most money possible, you don't care who sends you a letter, what's in the letter. You know what I mean? You're just going to go to the highest bidder. That's so the letter means it's useless, but you don't know. You never know.
You don't know what you don't know. So me and Chat are going to spend the afternoon drafting some letters.
It's not even
putting them in every mailbox in Fairport.
It's not even sincere. It's coming from ChatGPT. Give me a break.
They don't know that.
Yeah, I know. They don't know that.
I sign it with my own blood, so they're good to go.
All right, hold on a second. I think this is my real estate agent calling. Hi, is this Ashley?
Of course it is.
Ashley's like, can you guys stop driving business away from me? Thank you so much.
Ashley, quick question.
Breezy, no, I have to tell Breezy this story. I had a friend come to me who said, I'm going to sell my house to my neighbor for $215,000. I said, Darlene, you're crazy. If I don't sell your house for more than that, I'll do it all for free. What do you think I sold her house for on the market? Breezy, not Moose, what do you think?
$275,000?
$320,000. She cried because she left $100,000. She would have lost $100,000. So I see your point. I bought a house off market. I went through the Nextdoor app, and I'm a realtor, so I get it. But as a seller, it's in their best interest to always list because she would have lost out on $100,000. She cried.
Yeah. By the way, Ashley, when was the last time you saw
you swooping in and crushing the neighbor's dreams bit by bit?
When was the last time you saw a letter work for an individual in buying a house?
6 years ago. It worked one time for me. In 15 years I've been selling real estate, it worked one time.
Oh, man. One time in 15 years.
Interesting.
All right. Well,
thanks, Ash, for the input, but I got some letters to draft, so I got to go.
It's just like, oh, God.
Take PXY mornings with you everywhere you go.
Listen to Moose and Breezy and follow in the free Odyssey app.
The home of 98 PXY.
PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy, 72 for the high today. Eileen agreed to help out her neighbor, a single mom, who could really use the help. And she agreed to help her out by driving her son to school this year along with her own daughter. How generous of Eileen.
What an angel. You know what I mean? What an angel.
Except now her daughter comes to her and tells her that the kid she's driving to school has been bullying her all summer.
That's tough.
She's just finding out about this now. And I'm like, so now what do you do? This is a tough situation. By the way, we'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you would do if you were in Eileen's shoes. 585-252-9800. Hi, Eileen. Thanks for coming on the air this morning.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate you.
So you're welcome. So just wondering, why did you want to talk about this on air?
Because I could use some advice and want to cast a wide net on that.
Sure.
Okay.
You know, so it's not a newsworthy conversation. So I'm not calling Channel 10. It's just that there's some drama. So I am curious what other moms or dads would do on this one.
Okay. Let it rip.
Okay. Yeah. So a couple weeks ago, I agreed to drive my neighbor's son to school this year. So my neighbor's a single mom. She works early. I wanted to help her out. So I said, no problem. I would take him with my daughter. They've known each other for a very long time. So it wasn't really a big deal. I was taking my daughter to school anyway.
Got it.
Not a problem. Fast forward this week, my daughter comes to me. She's sobbing. She's in tears. She's telling me that that this boy, the same boy that I'm supposed to drive every morning, has been bullying her at school.
Okay, that's not great.
And you just found this out this week.
Right. So he's been calling her names. He's been making fun of her in front of the other kids. They were at the pool and at camp and just saying stuff about her weight. Like,
oh, my God.
Just horrific. Not nice.
Eileen, how old are they?
They're about 10.
Okay,
so, I mean, old enough to know better.
So...
old enough to know better.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see the dilemma. Like, if you continue to bring this kid to school, I mean, it's probably going to traumatize your daughter and make it seem like you're not on her side or listening to anything that she's saying truly. But if you don't, I mean, you're going to kind of screw over this mom, to be honest.
Right. And I don't want to screw over a single mom, right?
Yeah, but she's got enough on her plate.
Have you had this conversation with her about her son yet?
Yeah, I tried to. I mentioned something to the mom because, right, that's the first step,
sure,
right?
Obviously.
If we can get it resolved, then everybody wins. But
sure.
She was kind of in denial about it. She told me to my face that her son would never do something
right,
like that.
Right, they never did, even though there's video evidence. Right, of course.
I mean, my instinct is to just send her a text and back out because, you know, it's my kid. Like,
right.
My kid is...
You're not going to have your kid uncomfortable in their own car. Also, there raises another question about if you were to parent this child, she could flip out, which, I mean, could be best case scenario because then she'd pull out. But I don't know if she would do that because she really needs you for a ride.
This is your daughter we're talking about. So obviously that's the first priority, not your neighbor's kid who's obviously bullying your daughter. That's an issue.
But I get it, though. If you were to need something from her in the future, you're probably not going to get it.
And, you know, yeah, I understand. I get you said she's a single mom and she could use the help.
Yeah. Yeah, she could. But, I mean, I can't have it's one thing for me to say, hey, kid, you know, work it out. Like, you can, you know, grow a pair and do the hard things, right? Like, I'm all about that as a parent. But there's a difference between that and making her sit with the bully in the car every day.
Maybe it's a conversation you just have with the kid. One-on-one. Or with your daughter there present.
Yeah, and then she sues you for who knows what.
You know, so what's your gut leaning towards
for
right now?
Therapy bills.
Right, literally.
Years, right?
That's part of the course.
No, there's nothing wrong with sitting down and being like, do you want to talk this out and hash this out? Like, why are you saying these things to my daughter? You can have a conversation with him. He's 10. He knows what he's doing at this point. So
yeah, but I could see that blowing up in my face, too.
So where's your, what's your gut telling you? What are you leaning towards?
My gut is leaning towards backing out. It's not my job to parent somebody else's kid.
So if you guys are just tuning in, here's the dilemma. Does Eileen back out and risk letting down this mom who's kind of really counting on her? Or does she keep her promise and, I don't know, basically force her daughter to ride to school with this 10-year-old punk
her arch nemesis, essentially.
Right. Yeah, I would put your daughter first in this situation, but that's me. Let us know what you decide to do. We're going to get to some messages coming in right now, Eileen.
It's definitely a tough situation to be in. We feel for you.
Yeah, it sounds like you're just going to have the conversation with the mom that you can't do it. She'll figure out. There's other alternatives. I'm sure she'll figure it out.
I guess. I don't know if I should maybe like wait till a weekend to give her some time to find an alternative.
You're a good person.
Or,
you're a good person. Let's just put it that way.
I'm trying to be.
Yeah, for
I'm
sure.
Trying to be.
Well, yeah, clearly. I mean, considering it's weighing on you, because there's other people that'd be like, "Well, screw you. You figure it out on your own." And you're trying trying to do the right thing here. Obviously, that's clear. We'll get to some messages here, but I appreciate you calling in this morning.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate your help with this one.
Oh, no problem, Eileen. We'll do our best to see if we can help. All right, guys, 585-252-9800. Eileen, have a great day.
You too. Thanks, guys.
Okay, the first message we get is from a mom named Sarah who says, absolutely not. That's right in all caps, too. As a mom, I would be livid because there's no way I'm forcing my daughter to be around someone who torments her. That's just not a car ride that's sending a good message.
Yeah.
You're sending a message that her comfort doesn't really matter.
This person says, why can't kids ride the bus anymore? What is happening here? I believe that kids have gone completely soft. Why are we catering to their every needs and turning into modern day Ubers for them? I know, that's true. Nobody knows like what's happening with like the bus and the car ride situation, because it seems like this is truly like more normal than not when it comes to not riding the bus.
I know.
But like I would literally look at that kid dead in the face and I would say, if you keep it up, you're walking to school. See ya.
Yeah. Can't this mom, this is coming in, can't this mom have a sit down with both kids? A little uncomfortable, yeah, but sometimes putting the issue on the table makes the behavior stop. Mm-hmm. Sad that the other mom is in denial, too. I know, she told her. Not my Tanner.
Not my Tanner.
Oh, no, sorry. Let's go over to Pam on the phone. Hi, good morning, Pam.
Good morning.
Hi, what are your thoughts on this?
No sit down with the kid.
Why?
Oh. That will absolutely blow up in their face. Absolutely.
I agree, Pam.
What would you do?
Parents are, I've been through it. I've raised three kids by myself.
Tell us, Pam. Tell us everything.
I would attempt to have a conversation with the mother.
Okay.
Not going to like it. Be ready to lose a friend.
Oh, yeah, God. Right. I know. No. Well, you're not wrong about that. Because anytime you say one bad thing, whether it's true or not, to somebody else's, to some kid's parent, they're automatically going to go on in the defense. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they will not lose. You'll lose. If it's a friend, you'll lose a friend. And just be ready for that and accept it. It's okay.
Jillian. Not
so
my Jillian.
So you think Eileen should just stay away from this and not drive the kid to school?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm with you.
No, your child comes first. Your child comes first. and you will never win that one. I mean, so I had a situation where I talked to a child and it blew right up in my face. And,
really?
You can't say
absolutely.
Nothing anymore.
They'll sue you.
Nothing. Nothing. You can't. And I remember being a little kid and my next door neighbor's mother reamed me out and my mother let her. You know?
Yeah.
It's a different world.
You're like, yeah, it's very different these days.
You know what, Pam? When I was growing up in the neighborhood, I was being rude to one of the neighbor's kids. And his mother came out and let me have it for like 10 minutes in front of everyone. And my mom basically was like, good. You know, but you can't do that. You can't do it anymore. Yeah, just like this.
It's not okay.
It's We got another. Go ahead.
My kids are now in their 30s. And I mean, it's been 30 years that you cannot. It's unacceptable. Again, it's going to ruin a friendship. Get over it. It's okay.
Yeah.
Wow,
a
Pam.
Friend not worth saying. Yeah.
Well, Pam, are you open to being this girl's friend when she needs more?
Who, me?
Yeah. I'm the silent.
Oh, no.
The silence is all I need.
I have lost friendships, and again, you know, you get on in life, and sometimes they come back, sometimes they get it. Whatever. It doesn't matter. You'll make new friends, and you'll have great friendships.
All right, Pam. Sometimes
people can't deal with other people like you who are very direct, and that's their problem.
Absolutely.
All right, Pam. Thanks so much. We love you.
Bye, queen.
All right. Thank you guys for the messages on this. Sean says, tell this punk to take the bus or a hot air balloon to school. He wouldn't get in my car, that's for sure.
Not the hot air balloon. Actually, that sounds kind of fun. I would do that.
It's PXY Mornings. Moose, Breezy. We'll be right back.
Will be.
PXY Mornings, Moose, Breezy, Breeze. How many of you have a teenager at home who has their permit, already has a vehicle, but for one reason or another, they refuse to drive and get their license?
That was legitimately my brother.
585-252-9800. Nancy from Gates sends in this message to the show, and I found it to be really interesting because so many of us, as soon as we turn 16, what do?
We gotta get behind the wheel.
Run out the door?
We gotta get our permit.
That's right. We can't wait to drive. Not Nancy, son. Shut it down.
Shut it down.
Here's the message, Moose and Breezy. So here's a tricky one for you guys this morning. My 17-year-old doesn't want to drive. We've encouraged him. We even bought him a car. Yeah. He's got his permit. He's dragging his feet on getting that license. He says he's just not comfortable with all the traffic in our area. But we live in Gates,
right. So
I'm not sure what he's
talking about. Nothing we can do about that, buddy.
Not sure what he's talking about. Honestly, I think he's afraid. Now, here's where I'm stuck. Instead of driving, he's asking for his own Uber account so he can go
Stop.
To
Stop.
Yeah, he wants
Stop
to
it.
Hang out with friends and not have to rely on us for rides, but I'm hesitant. Yeah, Uber has teen options, but I've heard horror stories about shady drivers and the idea of putting my kid in a car with a stranger. I don't know. It doesn't sit right with me. I'd rather have him learn how to drive. So I was wondering if anyone has any suggestions on what to do here. Do I give in and set him up with an Uber account, even though it makes me uneasy? Or do I force him to get his license?
Force him.
And push him into a situation he's clearly not ready for. You guys are great in the morning. Thanks for reading my message. Nancy, I'm going to be fully blunt here for a minute, but driving is a life skill. What happens when he's 25 and he can't drive himself to a job interview?
I have a friend who is 31 and has never had their license.
You know, I get it if you're living in New York City or a place you don't need a vehicle, but put him in driver's ed and make him get his license.
Get him lessons, yeah. Like, even if it's not driver's ed, like, there you can hire someone to be your personal driving instructor and do that with you until you feel comfortable.
I love driving ed.
I know that's more money, but like...
Yeah, I mean, driver's ed will get you absolutely comfortable because I had three other teenagers in the back seat with me, plus my driving coach in the passenger seat, and you're nervous, but they teach you how to become comfortable once you get on the road. So this really comes down to safety versus independence.
Right.
What's riskier, putting your teen in an Uber or pushing them to drive before they're comfortable?
Well, it's like, I just don't think that you like putting their problem off is going to, it's not going to solve itself until you hit it face on, or head on, I should say, and you move forward with it. And it's going to take some time to convince them to, I don't know, be comfortable with it or continue to work on it.
Oh, especially with all the...
give up and be like, all right, Uber it is.
I know. It is tough, especially with all the traffic and gates. Let's go. Let's go.
I like, forget the gates is even a thing.
Let's go over to Matt on hold. What's up, buddy?
Hey, I have a 22-year-old son who still has a permit. He's had it for like 6 years.
What do you think the situation there is?
So basically what I told him is, so since he doesn't want to get his license, we live in Penfield.
Okay.
And he walks to work or he gets an Uber.
Yeah.
But I told him if he doesn't want to drive, then those are the only two other options other than get a bicycle.
Who's paying for the Ubers, him or you?
He is.
Wow, all right.
Yep, so if that's the choice he wants to make, I can't force him. You can't force a kid.
Did he explain to you what the big idea is, what the big fear are? Also, are you on a hot rod right now? What's happening?
Just like the kid who in Greece, he said he's afraid of hurting someone else driving. He doesn't want to get in an accident.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and some people do, especially behind the wheel. I know a 52-year-old woman who's never driven. I mean, because she suffers from anxiety and in a tough situation.
That's exactly what it is.
Right.
If
she's in the car alone, she's screaming out the window for somebody else to take the wheel.
Stop it.
What I came up with is if he chooses not to, then he needs to find a way of transportation.
Yeah.
If it's cold, I'll go pick him up. He works at a store close by my house.
Got it.
So if it's cold, I'll go pick him up. But other than that, he's on his own.
Yeah.
I know that it's hard to kind of reason with someone with anxiety, especially crippling anxiety, but like he could get hit walking to work.
There's a number.
Well, yes, that is true. He takes a lot of precautions getting home, but he knows that's one of the consequences that, you know, he's got to be careful.
Yeah.
So,
but very interesting.
Thanks,
Matt. Want to hurt somebody.
Thanks, Matt, for the insight.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, buddy. Let me go over to a couple text messages here. Mike says, hot takes. This is a hot take, but parents who buy their kid a car before they even get their license are part of the problem. Why would he rush to learn when he already has wheels waiting? So, I don't know, so he can drive it. Jeff says, this generation has no urgency to grow up. At 17, I had a job, I had a license, I was driving my friends around, and now kids want Uber. This generation doesn't want to grow up. Mark says, honestly, I'd rather my son take an Uber than ride with his dumb 17-year-old friends who just got their license and think they're in Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is a great teachable moment because when he meets a girl and he really starts dating, he's going to see how quickly life gets limited if you can't drive. And, you know, nobody wants to be 18, 19, 20 years old still waiting on mom or dad or Uber to take them out. But if it's an anxiety thing, then you're going to be comfortable when you're comfortable.
And I fear this. I fear that if you don't hit it head on now, you're going to get complacent and you're never going to want to learn.
Also true.
You have to do it now.
Also true. It's PXY Mornings. Thank you guys so much for the messages on this. Be right back.
Hey, it's Devins, and I've got all the strange news stories that you won't get scrolling your Instagram feed. Starting at 3 every afternoon right here on 98 PXY.